Hello, it's Dr. Jeff with another episode of Talk Healthy Today. This episode, we will welcome another amazingly knowledgeable guest from the health and nutrition field, practitioner Cheryl Myers. So you don't want to miss this episode, that's for sure. Better Nutrition presents Talk Healthy Today, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at europharmausa.com.
Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy, it's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
It's not something you can see or feel, yet it can quietly simmer away inside your body for years. When it does eventually appear, well, you probably won't make the connection between this insidious condition and the diagnoses of heart disease, diabetes, or cancer. The it is inflammation, the body's natural response against injury and infection. When the inflammatory response functions as it should, it helps to heal. But if it gets out of control, it can wreak widespread havoc on your health. Health expert Cheryl Myers joins me today to discuss the many ways low-level inflammation can undermine good health and the easy things we can do to keep this visible threat in check. Cheryl Myers is an author, practitioner, and an expert on integrative health and natural medicine. She is a nationally recognized speaker who has been interviewed by the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Prevention Magazine. Her many articles have been published in such diverse journals as Aesthetic Surgery Journal and Nutrition and Complementary Care. And her research on botanicals have been presented at the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and the North American Menopause Society. She is a well-known advocate for the bridging the worlds of mainstream and natural medicine. A graduate of Purdue University, Ms. Myers has been clinically certified in oncology and gerontology, has an additional degree in psychology, focusing on physiological brain function, and also is the head of scientific affairs and education for Europharma Incorporated. Help me welcome my guest, Cheryl Myers. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Jeff. It's so great to be here.
I'm so glad you're here today. You know, it is interesting. This is a funny word, inflammation. You know, one time I actually was in a group of people and we were talking about different things and the word inflammation came up and I asked them individually what they thought inflammation was. And most people say, well, that's what happens when you cut yourself. And I said, right. And somebody said, well, that's what happens when you have surgery and you're healing, your body is going through inflammation. Or if you sprain yourself or you fall down and you have inflammation, they give you anti-inflammatories for inflammation. And I said, right. I said, but what's systemic inflammation? And no one knew what that was. And as we continued the conversation, I think many of their eyes were opened up that inflammation, although important and very beneficial and necessary, can also fight against us and be the accelerator on the car that makes everything that is wrong with us much worse, much faster, and to a degree that can be critical.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. When I'm talking to patients, I have the first thing I often do is to talk about what is inflammation in the first place. And I often describe inflammation. First, inflammation is a process. It's not a thing. It's several activities that are happening simultaneously. Most people think of it as an individual entity, but it's not. It's a lot of stuff going on. So I said, think of inflammation as a river. And if you live on the banks of the river and the river runs dry, you're in some trouble because how are you going to water your crops? How are you going to take care of your livestock? How are you going to make green tea for dinner in the evening? How are you going to wash your clothes? What's your family going to drink? So the river running dry is very difficult, and if it doesn't start to come back pretty soon, you may have to uproot your family and move someplace and find a new water supply. But if the river rises and gets well above where it needs to be and it starts to overflow its banks, that's called a flood. And a flood is an immediately life-threatening situation. It can wash away your crops. It can destroy your home. It can drown you and your family. So it's very life-threatening. So where do we want that river to be? And I always say I want that river to be in the Goldilocks spot. Not too high, not too low, just right. Well, what determines the height of the river? And what determines how high the river runs are the streams and the rivulets and the brooks and the agricultural runoff. Every little trickle that comes from the land around the river feeds the river. So the way that drugs work to reduce inflammation, so when you're looking at your ibuprofens, your naproxen sodiums, your aspirins out there, the way that they work to address inflammation is they pick a really big stream that's feeding the river, and then they just drop the most gigantic boulder on that stream that you can imagine. They completely block that stream. They whack it good. That means that the river goes down, and that's the reason that these drugs are multi-billion-dollar drugs. They do reduce the level of the river. They do reduce the level of inflammation. But what happens when you drop a boulder on a stream and completely knock it out of commission? Well, you start to have some backstream damage. And when you do that in the body, some of that backstream damage is things like irritation of the gastric lining, erosion of the gastric lining, stomach bleeding, ulcers, perforated ulcers, intestinal bleeding, reduced kidney function, raised blood pressure, and doubling and tripling your risk of heart attack and stroke. Those are not good things to have in your body. So I'm not about, I don't think it's healthy to be wiping out whole enzyme systems in the body, or in this case, dropping a boulder on a little brook. So the way that the herbal world works when it deals with inflammation, and the most potent anti-inflammatory herb that I've ever encountered is curcumin, which is found in turmeric. So it's a single compound that's extracted from turmeric, and it too dramatically lowers the river, but it doesn't wipe out any single brook or stream or rivulet. It touches every single stream, and it helps to modulate it down a little bit. It quiets things down, but it doesn't wipe out anything. So since it doesn't wipe out any of the streams, you don't get any backstream damage. So the side effects of curcumin use to help reduce inflammation in the body are actually side benefits, things like helping to reduce your risk of heart disease or cancer or Alzheimer's disease. All these things are associated with being able to rein in inflammation without wiping out any enzyme systems. So that's why I think that when we talk about some of the most valuable herbal medicines on the planet today, in my top two or three would absolutely be curcumin.
You know, the other thing is, you know, I think a lot of people may be surprised when we start talking about inflammation and this systemic imbalance in our body of inflammation, and of course, many things adding up to this situation. But I don't think a lot of people realize that stress can increase inflammation, you know, diet, inactivity, you know, medications. I mean, many things we do every single day could be some of the culprits that add up to an out of balance inflammatory response, because I don't think we realize that we may be our own worst enemy sometimes.
Well, absolutely. I mean, doesn't everything usually come back to diet and lifestyle? And those things have been warped in our society for quite a long time. You know, we've invented these frankenfoods that never existed before 50 or 60 years ago that are manipulated to really ping on all of our taste buds and be really exciting. And so they're quite addictive. I'm not going to go as far as to say they're addictive, but they do teach our taste buds to crave bolder and bolder flavors. So you get these manipulations of our taste buds to make people really love foods that maybe have, not only do they not have very good nutrient value, but they may have compounds in them that turn out to be downright harmful for us, like high fructose corn syrup, like the vast plethora of artificial sweeteners and artificial coloring agents and artificial flavors that just disrupt a lot of genetic pathways in our body. So, yes, absolutely, eating a cleaner diet, getting some good, healthy activity, and helping to reduce the stress levels in our life all make a difference with the inflammatory response.
The other thing I think a lot of us will probably ask, you know, is it age-related? Is it the sedentary lifestyle? Do we inherit this from our family? Do we create a lot of it ourselves? I mean, obviously we know that our lifestyles today really do fight against us in many different avenues. And many of the things we do on a daily basis can, you know, be that culprit we just talked about. But is this coming from my mom and my dad? Am I inheriting these out of sort inflammatory responses?
Well, there are some, probably a little bit of genetic impact. It's just true that some people inherit certain genes that are more efficient than others. One of the examples I often give is, I'm not a very tall person. I'm about 5'3". And Michael Jordan's a pretty tall person. I don't know his exact height, but he's well over 6 feet. He can jump really high. So when you look at our genetics, he has inherited certain genes that make him taller, and I've inherited certain genes that make me smaller. So which one of us is better? Well, if you're asking which one of us has a higher vertical leap, if one of us has to jump to grab the apple off the tree, which one of us do you think is going to be more successful? So you're going to say, well, her genes aren't very good, but his genes are awesome, right? Well, let's say that there's a horrible snowstorm, and the only place to seek shelter is a tiny little cave that you can curl up in with your bear skin to stay warm. Well, in that instance, guess which one of us is going to be successful? I can get into places that he cannot. So I'm going to curl up in the cave and cover up with my bear skin, and he might freeze to death. So in that case, you're going to say, wow, her genes are awesome because it allowed her to do this, and his genes aren't very good. Mm-hmm. So when we start talking about genes, like do you have good genes or do you have bad genes, all of our genes are kind of situational. They are, you know, the same genetics in one person may empower them in certain situations, but in others be a bit of a detractor. So we're not talking about damage to our genes or that you're doomed somehow if you inherit, quote, bad genes. But there are some influences on how well that our bodies respond with inflammation. But I don't believe that there's any genetic influence that's so powerful that we can't do a better job with our diet, with our lifestyle, and with different supplements, like using things like curcumin, to get that inflammation back under control, get it back to where it's helping us instead of hurting us.
I know so many people that have done prescription and had to utilize prescription anti-inflammatories, and mm-hmm. most of them do experience stomach upset, and you know they really can't use them for a long, long period of time without doing some wear and tear on the body. And mm-hmm. I think they're always pleasantly surprised when they find out that they do have a complementary or an alternative choice in the area of anti-inflammatory products that are natural and actually are doing some good for us, just not helping with the reduction of inflammation, but some good things as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, curcumin is from the herb turmeric, and turmeric is an awesome spice. So if you love turmeric, I hope you're cooking with it a lot. It's also a great coloring agent. In India, they use turmeric also to dye clothing. So turmeric's a great food, but it turns out there's a pigment in turmeric. What gives turmeric its brilliant yellow-orange color, and the pigment's name is curcumin. And isn't that the way it often is, that sometimes the most valuable natural medicine and as a plant is the thing that gives it its color? So in tomatoes, we have lycopene that makes them red. And in carrots, beta-carotene make them orange. And indirectly, for shrimp and for salmon, what makes them pink? Astaxanthin. So these pigments can have really, really powerful medical attributes, and such is the same with turmeric. But curcumin is only 2% to 5% of turmeric. So when you start to look at the clinical studies utilizing this herb for people who have real difficulties with inflammation, whether that inflammation is an itis, like tendonitis or arthritis, or whether that inflammation has to do with liver disease or inflammation in the lining of the blood vessels for cardiovascular disease, whatever you're using it for, curcumin is what has been clinically studied. The problem also is that curcumin is not very well absorbed. So some of those early studies, people had to use 20 or 24 capsules a day to get them into a range where they even showed any health benefit. Well, how many people are going to stick with a regimen of 20 to 24 capsules a day?
No.
I guess maybe if they were covered in chocolate and sprinkles, maybe. Most people are not going to take 20 a day. And so some of the curcumin that we've been working with is clinically studied. It's the curcumin we use in our, like in our Curamed and in our Curamin products. This curcumin is has a patented process where they take turmeric essential oil, and each little flake of curcumin is impregnated with just a little bit of the oil. And this not only enhances absorption, so instead of 20 capsules a day, you only have to take two, but the turmeric essential oil, it turns out, has other compounds from turmeric that are really, really important for health. And I'm a little ahead of the game right now. I'm going to talk about turmerones and AR turmerones, and people are going to scratch their head and say, what's she talking about? But let me tell you, pay attention to the health news. Within the next 3 or 4 years, you're going to be hearing a lot more about the other compounds in turmeric, these turmerones, because the research on them is just exploding, looking at not only how turmerones from turmeric essential oil have their own set of anti-inflammatory benefits, but they also have a lot of anti-cancer benefits as well. So when we use curcumin with a turmeric essential oil, we have all of a sudden opened up a whole new world, a whole new spectrum of benefits, because they not only work synergistically, turmerones not only boost curcumin's absorption, but they also activate it after absorption to make it more powerful, in addition to having their own independent health benefits. So when you start to look at the science of all of these natural products and how and what is the most effective way to help rein in this runaway inflammation, you have to pay attention to how well are things absorbed, are they clinically studied, what are they using to boost the efficacy, does it contain the other compounds from turmeric that can make such a difference. So there's a lot of investigation that needs to go on.
Well, the other thing is, I know what's going to happen is people are going to start thinking, you know, how do I know if my inflammatory levels are high? And I think the way that I probably would answer that is if you are not feeling well and your body is in a state of disarray and you are on medications and you are probably overweight, inactive, eating a diet that's really high in processed foods and a lot of omega-6 in your diet causing an imbalance, your cholesterol's high, you have blood sugar or blood pressure problems, you can pretty well plan that your inflammatory response is way higher than it should be.
Well, I would think that it's the predominant population of the United States probably is in some dysfunctional state of inflammation. Mm-hmm. Because you just look at the diseases that we're dealing with and you look at the dysfunction that we're dealing with, and a lot of it has to do with chronic inflammation. When you are overweight or when you are fully obese, that puts you immediately into a pro-inflammatory state. Not just because you're putting additional wear and tear on your joints, although that doesn't help, but also because having extra fat cells releases more inflammatory cytokines into the bloodstream. And it's very, very difficult to lose weight. I am not judging at all. I think that we haven't even begun to unlock the secrets as to why people are overweight or obese. It doesn't have anything to do with willpower or are you a good enough person. There's a lot going on, I think, with our bodies that put people at risk for these problems. In fact, they recently found that the microbiota, the microbiome in the intestines can predict whether a person has issues with obesity or not. So there's a lot of factors I think we still need to explore. That said, fully 60% of Americans are either overweight or obese. And so that means that just on that basis alone, they're in a pro-inflammatory state. And then we look at the multitude of diseases. We look at injury and stressors. We look at the other kinds of, as you say, the pro-inflammatory diets that we're exposed to. So I think that we're dealing with a monumental problem to help rein in inflammation. In fact, something that was really interesting to me is, because I also have a degree in psychology, so I would have a special place in my heart for the research on mental illness, because I think people that are struggling with mental illnesses have a double whammy. They have to deal with it. Very difficult aspects of their mental illness, and then they have to deal with social stigma as well. So I have a special place in my heart for people who are struggling in this area. They found that people with major depressive disorder have much higher levels of inflammation in their brain than people who don't have major depressive disorder. And this level of inflammation, and they also have higher levels of oxidative stress, disrupt the neurotransmitters of the brain. They make imbalances that are resulting in depressed mood, and it also suppresses an activity in the brain called neurogenesis, which is the creation of new brain cells. And they found that the creation of new brain cells is very intimately connected with mood. So people who are severely depressed have very low levels of neurogenesis, whereas people who are not depressed or who lean towards being downright happy have high levels of neurogenesis and low levels of brain inflammation. And if that isn't enough, they found that individuals with major depressive disorder are also at higher risk for Alzheimer's disease. Why? Because the same processes are going on. High levels of inflammation and oxidative stress that start to interfere with proper brain functionality. The studies on curcumin have just been amazing for people with depression. And most people think, oh, curcumin arthritis, curcumin tendinitis, you know, those kinds of things. But there's been four studies specifically on that curcumin turmeric essential oil blend that I told you about that look at how effective it is for major depressive disorder in people. And one of the studies even compared it to fluoxetine, which is the generic of the prescription drug Prozac, which is a pretty well-known antidepressant medication, and they found that it worked as well as the Prozac without the adverse effect profile. But it's working in a totally novel mechanism. It's reducing inflammation in the brain. It's reducing oxidative stress in the brain. That allows the neurotransmitters to come back into better balance, and it also is the most stimulant, the most potent stimulator of neurogenesis, the most potent stimulator of the creation of new brain cells thus far investigated in either the pharmaceutical or the nutraceutical world. So I think that when we start to, the more we know about inflammation, the better, but the more we know about it, the more we find it's the root cause of just about every single major disease that we're dealing with.
Remember, stay up to date on each and every show by liking our Facebook page. Follow us on Instagram or Twitter. Let us know what your favorite healthy habit is. Then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned on the show. For more information on understanding inflammation and other health and wellness topics, check out my favorite magazine, Better Nutrition, at your local health food store. Packed with well-researched articles, recipes, and tips, it's an indispensable resource for healthy living. Pick up your copy today. And don't forget to visit EuropharmaUSA.com for amazing information. Website of the week, theinflammationfactor.com. But I think you're going to find a lot of inflammation on the EuropharmaUSA.com site as well. Cheryl, let me ask you a question. Do we have this problem more in the United States with inflammation, or is it now worldwide?
The more industrialized the country, mm-hmm. the more developed the country, the more likely its food source is altered, and the more likely people are having indoor inactive jobs mm-hmm. versus outdoor active jobs. So, you know, yes, it's increasing worldwide, but I think we see it the worst in the United States because, you know, we've shifted from a world of, in a very short period of time, so our poor little Stone Age bodies haven't had much mm-hmm. time to keep up, but we've shifted from a relatively pure diet of plant foods and animal foods without a lot of changes to them to some chemical compositions that we call food. And then in addition to that, instead of the majority of jobs being outside and physical, now the majority of jobs are inside and are not physical. So you put all those together, and it set us up for this epidemic of inflammation and the diseases that go along with inflammation. So while Americans are living longer, they're not necessarily living healthier or happier.
And the other thing is, you know, I think that we're going to find eventually that, you know, like people talking about probiotics and how the word turmeric is being talked about all over the place now. I think many people and omega-3s and all these other things, I think inflammation is going to be a topic that more and more people are learning about. In many cases, probably because of a have-to situation, a necessity, because their bodies are going to be completely out of balance and out of control. But, you know, one way or another, people still need to learn about it.
Absolutely. I jokingly say when people hear me talking about curcumin, because as you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about it.
Just a little.
And our clinically studied Curamed is the 750 dose is the one that was clinically studied. So in all the clinical studies done on this, save one, it was two of these capsules per day, one in the morning, one in the evening. So when I say that, I say if every child that graduates from high school, if we could just hand them a bottle of Curamed and start them then, honestly, I believe we'd add 10 years onto their lifespan, mm-hmm. maybe more. Because when you address oxidative stress and, more importantly, inflammation, when you can address that, just think of the downstream benefits you can have. You know, you have lower rates of diabetes with less inflammation, lower rates of cancer, lower rates of heart disease, lower rates of brain disease, lower rates of kidney and liver disease, lower rates of skin diseases with less inflammation in the body.
You know, it's almost like a domino effect. As we start to reduce it in one area, another part that would have been unhealthy due to that unhealthy situation starts to get better as well. And then we start having the domino effect of healthy change.
Absolutely. That's a domino effect I enjoy.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, the knee bone's connected to the thigh bone, the thigh bone's connected to the hip bone, that old song. Well, every single system in the body is connected everywhere else. So if you improve the liver, you get benefits everywhere. If you improve the brain, you get benefits everywhere. If you improve heart function or the integrity of blood vessels, you get benefits everywhere. So I think if I could only offer one thing to everybody listening today on this program, if you're only going to make one change in your life, add curcumin. Get this clinically studied CuraMed so you get predictable results. You know it's going to absorb, and you get the additional benefits from the turmeric essential oil that you don't get in other curcumin products. It's the easiest change you can make. It's hard to make huge changes to diet and activity.
True.
They need to happen, but they're hard to do. The easiest thing you can do is to start take a dietary supplement that helps rein in those excessive levels of inflammation that are putting you at risk for so many things.
One quick question. Are the products that we talked about today better taken with food, without food? Do you have a preference?
Well, I always like to take CuraMed with food because I believe there's factors in food that help absorb even a little bit better. Now, that doesn't mean if you're not eating a meal at the time, you can still take it on an empty stomach. But I think if you can take it with food, it's a better thing.
Okay. And we don't have to break, and we don't have to rotate, and we don't have to take days off.
No. It works in a very different way than some of the herbs, some of the whole herbs that people use to address other kinds of conditions.
And one more question. If we do use it in our food as a seasoning, above and beyond using the products, we're still good to go.
Absolutely. You know, I often tell people, I say, well, why can't I just put on the seasoning? I say, because you would have to take, and I'm not making this up, I've done the math, you'd have to take 500 capsules of turmeric to equal the amount of curcumin you get in your bloodstream from one single CuraMed capsule. So you just cannot get there with turmeric alone. But turmeric added to your food, super healthy, and I hope everybody does it.
Remember to make sure you visit EuropharmaUSA.com. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is the Talk Healthy Today show on Radio MD, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at EuropharmaUSA.com. For more information on this and all my show segments, remember to go to my radio show page at RadioMD.com. Look for the Talk Healthy Today show page for the on-demand podcast of the shows. I thank you all for listening. Stay well.